What's up, fellow capitalists? I will tell you what's up. There's more debt in America than there is money. And that's why we're caught in a terrible rat race that we can't get out of, and why there's never enough money in your household. I'm Nate Houseman, and I talk about the economy, business, I dabble into politics, we talk about pop culture, and in this program, we're going to talk about fractional reserve banking, the Federal Reserve, why we're caught in this debt trap, and we're going to go over some articles, and hopefully you can get some value out of this, and we can find a way out of this mess. If you find this content valuable, please give it a thumbs up, subscribe, and share it. Whether you're watching this on YouTube, Rumble, Odyssey, or you're listening to the podcast, I hope you get some benefit out of this. Let's look at the current economic situation as of June 2022, and we are really in a big pickle here. This is from Zero Hedge, contributed by Michael Lebotiz of realinvestmentadvice.com. The consumer is getting squeezed. Consumers are being squeezed by negative real wage growth, inflation at 40-year highs. As a result, consumer sentiment is declining and personal consumption habits are changing as people struggle to make ends meet. You know, the graph below, and if you're listening to the podcast, it's just a line graph showing personal consumption as a percentage of nominal GDP, and it's just kind of growing up, starting from the 1950s up to today. The graph shows that over the last 60 years, the personal consumption expenditures has slowly risen from about 60% of gross domestic product to nearly 70%. Its contribution to GDP fluctuates very little. Consumer sentiment surveys, you know, they're very confident in their... Are consumers very confident in their financial situation? High levels of confidence lead to high levels of consumption and vice versa. The first graph compares University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey and the Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index. And it's just all over the place. And it's drastically down to to levels not seen since 2009. Confidence difference. It's at the lowest levels ever. And declining real wages. This is the big one. Consumer sentiment is declining, and inflation is not necessarily bad for consumers if their wages keep up or surpass the inflation rate. Unfortunately, that's not what's occurring. The graph below shows real incomes, inflation adjusted, have fallen for over a year. And there was a big spike in 2021. And it dropped down, and now it's actually declining in 2022 because workers' wages are not keeping up with the rate of inflation. Why is there inflation at all? You know, why does the money supply keep growing? Why does money keep getting printed? You know, the value of the dollar really depends on how many dollars there are in circulation. We're going to go over that in a little bit, but there's also the conundrum that a lot of corporations, they tend to compensate their executives with stocks more so than salaries, and not so much their employees with stocks. And so that creates the wealth gap. Assets are actually more important than money in a system where we use fiat currency. This article sums up: there's failing consumer sentiment, crushing inflation, declining real wages, savings are being drawn down rapidly, credit card usage is soaring, mortgage, cash out refinancing, and fiscal stimulus is unlikely. So we are in a tough situation. And at the root of it all is probably the banking system. First let's look at how much money there is in the U.S. economy. This article is from businessterms.org and tells us what is the money supply. And there are three or four categories of money. There's the M1, which is made up of cash and coins, basically dollar bills, in coins like quarters, dimes, nickels, and pennies. There's the M2 supply, which is a broader measure of money supply, and it counts money from the M1, but also includes things like deposit accounts, fixed deposits, retail money, mutual funds. Then the biggest category is the M3, which includes everything in the M1 and M2 categories. It also includes central bank money, money stock, let's see here, assets. So that's, it's all a lot of terms, but basically the M3 money supply is the official total money supply that's available in dollars in the U.S. around the world. So if we go to the Federal Reserve's website, and this is the St. Louis Federal Reserve, that's the branch of the Fed, the America's Central Bank, it tells us that the money supply is $21,809,700,000,000. And some of you know why that's such a problem. This is the official number from the Federal Reserve at fred.stlouisfed.org. If we go to the U.S. Treasury's website, the official website at ustreasury.gov, we see, if the page will scroll, that the national debt as of June 8th, 2022 is $30,416,483,347,432.31. So $30 trillion in debt compared to $21 trillion in actual money. How is this possible? It's because the Federal Reserve loans money to the government, but it charges interest. And that's one of the big scams of our age. That's how the banking system has enslaved our civilization. When the Federal Reserve, in conjunction with the Treasury, they print money and they loan it to the government at interest. However, they don't print enough money to cover that interest. Therefore, the government has to borrow more money to pay that initial interest, but then there's interest on top of the new loan. So it's a never-ending cycle. This has been going on since the Federal Reserve was first created in 1913. I don't know if you've heard the story of the creation of the Federal Reserve. A bunch of bankers and John Rockefeller, who was, a stinking rich oil tycoon, they got together at Jekyll Island off the coast of Georgia, and they came up with a plan for an American central bank. These were big executives in the banking industry, and they sold that plan to the politicians in Washington, the members of Congress, and to President Wilson. And it was a big, scandal, big under the radar, scam that was pulled on us. But it's not just the Federal Reserve that has enslaved, that's got the government trapped in debt. It's commercial banks that have gotten consumers and regular citizens in debt. From this article on Medium.com by Genesis Mining, everything you need to know about fractional reserve banking, and I'll read parts of this. You don't know the first thing about fractional reserve banking and how it works? You're not alone. Nearly 26% of respondents believed that banks were required to hold 100% of customer deposits in their reserves. Fractional reserve banking is a system by which banks lend out their customers' deposits to generate a profit through interest. And that, banks make their money through lending money and charging interest on it, the same way the Federal Reserve charges interest to the government. You may think that your money is being stored in some vault in your bank of choice. 26% of respondents in our recent survey believe the banks are required to keep 100% of deposits in their reserves. Newsflash, they're not required to keep all of customers' deposits on hand. Not by a long shot. The fractional in fractional reserve banking alludes to the fact that banks are only required to hold a fraction of deposit funds in their reserves. While that fraction remains stored within an account within the central bank or in the bank's immediate currency reserves, much of the customer's deposit funds are lent back out to earn the bank money through interest payments. Fractional reserve banking essentially allows banks to use the capital of savers as credit for borrowers. So proponents argue that this is critical to powering the wheels of the American economy, while critics are more concerned with bank runs and other risks that have arisen from the flaws in the fractional reserve banking system. What are the disadvantages of fractional reserve banking? Critics of the banking system don't hold back. They call it a Ponzi scheme. You're robbing Peter, the depositor, to pay Paul, the borrower, and it's not sustainable in the long run. Whether you agree with this perspective or not, there are glaring downsides with fractional reserve banking that are difficult to refute. For one, the money multiplier effect of fractional reserve banking results in a growing money supply. As the money supply grows, especially in the exponential manner created by the lending of financial reserves, the value of the dollar becomes less, which we also call inflation. A steady rise in inflation, say 3%, is expected and is generally associated with a healthy growing economy. But over time, the rapidly growing money supply has seemingly resulted in a massive decrease in the U.S. dollar's purchasing power. Similarly, if banks lend their money out unwisely, such as the subprime mortgages that led to the 2008 crash, money may simply never be repaid as unqualified borrowers default on their loans. This means you've essentially flushed bank customers' deposits down the drain, and doing this systematically can precipitate a recession or worse, as we witnessed in 2008. Critics of the fractional reserve banking argue that the system contributes to the destruction of money's real intrinsic value. Combined with the rejection of the gold standard in both 1933 and 1971, fractional reserve banking has rendered currency truly fiat. That means it's just paper backed by the government. And how many of us trust the government these days after we've seen all the shenanigans with election fraud and, you know, cops not doing their job and with mass shootings? For this reason, people see cryptocurrencies as a viable alternative with real intrinsic value and systems that prevent straying too far from truly collateralized medium of exchange. So what they're saying is cryptocurrency is a form of sound money. There's fiat money, which is paper backed by the government, and there's sound money, which is something that's just common to everyone and cannot be, you know, created out of nothing. Sound money includes Bitcoin, which is protected by its, you know, cryptographic software coding. And there's only ever going to be 21 million Bitcoin in supply. That's the way it's been programmed. Gold and silver are also examples of sound money. You know, no one creates gold and silver. They're natural resources. You dig them out of the earth. In really ancient times, people use grain as money. You grow grain and you use that as a liquid method of currency. So before we move on, let me tell you about a way to support the program and support yourself. I'm a referral partner to Prime XBT. It's an investment exchange where you can buy cryptocurrency, where you can trade, where you can also invest, trade in Forex, foreign exchanges, commodities, stocks, and all trading indices. And one of the cool things, they offer some really cool ways to make money. You can earn interest, which I don't recommend because that's not the topic of this video, but you can also copy trade. You can find a trader on the platform who's got a really good track record, and you can basically let them trade for you. You can you can assign your own portfolio and let it trade at buy and sell as the trader does. So if you click on the link in the description, and I got a lot of other resources for you too, if you're in the business for yourself, click on their link, you can get started, and I'll earn a small commission fee, and we'll all, you know, be supported here. So let me just being aware of that. Now, it's not just we're in a cycle of debt and the rat race and the system of enslavement. The banking system really does have our government held hostage. They've got, you know, think about how people are, you know, induced into committing corrupt acts. You ever wonder why the police really don't? You ever wonder why police might carry out some unconstitutional or unethical, you know, orders by from higher up? Well, it's because they're in fear of losing their jobs. They have to make money just like everyone else because we're all in the rat race. Why do you suppose, you know, government bureaucrats, you know, crush us with, you know, their oppressive system? It's because they're afraid of losing their income. Why do, you know, medical provider, healthcare providers, why do, you know, construction companies, why do you, you know, anyone go ahead with anything that's unethical? Is because they're on the hook. And coming back to Zero Hedge, another article contributed by Capitalist Exploits, the corruption is now increasingly brazen and blatant. You know, our politicians have been either bought or bribed or blackmailed by the financial system. Remember how we just discussed the funding of the profligate U.S. government? Let's take a look at how bad things are. Here's the current budget deficit, and it's a table, or it's a graph, showing what years there was a budget surplus and what years we were in debt. And we've been really badly in debt ever since the federal budget. No, that's not debt, the deficit. That's slightly different, but there's been a lot of red ink since the turn of the century. Since there's no actual cash in the piggy bank, the U.S. government has to borrow it. Meanwhile, debt spirals higher. Total U.S. debt now tops $90 trillion in unfunded liabilities, clocking in at $169 trillion. That's, you know, we talk about the national debt at $30 trillion. There's also consumer debt. There's corporate. There's business debt owed by corporations. There's mortgage loans, car loans, credit card debt. $169 trillion in debt compared to $21 trillion in the money supply. This cannot go on. Folks tend to forget that a government doesn't produce anything. It merely sucks up resources from the productive and redistributes those resources. Most productive governments manage to do this with the least amount of friction or capital stripped from the system while allocating the resources most efficiently. And since governments are awful at both these things, the most productive governments are those who do the least, instead of leaving it to the private sector to cater to the wants and needs of society. The author says, one reason I have been saying the probability of a debt reset is in the offing is because the numbers are just too egregious to be managed at this point. Median income per household in the United States in 2020 was $67,521 per year. Now consider that when doing simple math, by taking U.S. debt and dividing it by citizens, we clock in at $778,000 per citizen, not per household. Now, not all citizens are contributing to the pie, so to speak. Babies, for example. A more accurate take, therefore, is dividing this number by the number of U.S. taxpaying citizens. When doing so, we clock in at over $2 million per citizen. Do you understand how hopeless the situation is? There are now only two solutions the author can think of. One is a hyperinflation of the currency, and the other is a debt reset. This brings up other probabilities. Those in power know the hyperinflation would likely see them being replaced, and we will see them replaced in the upcoming midterm election. History shows us this is true. Rather, they will try to self-detonate the system, have an enemy to blame it on, such as COVID or Russia, and retain control, or dare I say, gain even more control. This is what the entire World Economic Forum plan is all about. Right now, they're still using the mask of democracy. But as we've seen in the last 2 years, this is merely a mask. Leaders all over the world have been bought and pressured or murdered when not complying. The corruption is now increasingly brazen and blatant. The energy put into masking it grows weaker each day, while the excesses and theft grow more egregious. Surprised? You shouldn't be. This is the fourth turning. Lucky us, huh? And by fourth turning, he means, you know, the first turning was the formation of the Federal Reserve Bank in 1913. The second turning was the Bretton Woods Plan, when the U.S. dollar became the world's, you know, reserve currency. The third turning was when the dollar was detached from gold in 1971. So now we're at the end of the third turning, and we're facing the fourth turning, and they're saying, okay, now we need to go into central bank digital currencies. We need to go ahead with our great reset. The good news is they've lost all their cover stories. You know, if you follow the X-22 report, you know, the host Dave, he always says they've lost, Trump took away their cover stories. So we've been served a feast of red pills ever since Joe Biden started squatting in the White House. The article goes on. Something else to consider is that while the Biden administration is sending tens of billions of dollars to thugs in what is arguably the most corrupt Eastern European country, they can't actually afford it. The U.S. military may be the strongest, largest in the world, but as is the case with all militaries, it requires funding. Cut off the funding, and no army can or will fight. This is true even if gender-confused soy boys in San Francisco champion taking it to Putin while replacing Ukrainian flags in their bios right next to their pronouns. And that means the acceleration of the collapse of the U.S. government, and indeed the European Union, is being accelerated. And then, towards the end of the article, this contributor, they suggest what, you know, you need to invest in to preserve your wealth. And they say copper, the shipping industry, the U.S. dollar, even though they're bearish on all paper currencies, the U.S. dollar will probably outperform all the others. There's base metals, there's offshore oil and gas, rare earth metals, uranium, gold, coal, agriculture, natural gas. And you can invest in a lot of these commodities on Prime XBT. So take advantage of the referral link. Our government is being held hostage, and it's been corrupted by a sneaky, corrupt banking system. And really, offering loans and charging interest has been a thing since ancient times, and it's always been wrong. In fact, the Bible is actually very strongly against it. You see all these verses that say, if you lend money to any of my people with you who is poor, you shall not be like a moneylender to him, and you shall not extract interest from him. That's from Exodus. That's one of the books in the Bible where God talked to Moses and said, lay down the laws for the Israelites. There's so many examples where charging interest on a loan, or they also call it usury, is strictly forbidden and called out because it's a way of enslaving a person. It's a way of enslaving a whole lot of people. Woodrow Wilson came to regret signing the Federal Reserve Act into law. You know, you might have seen this quote. He said, "I am a most unhappy man. I've unwittingly ruined my country. A great industrial nation is controlled by a system of credit, and our system of credit is concentrated. The growth of the nation, therefore, and all its activities are in the hands of a few men." And this is something the Founding Fathers, you know, warned us against. You know, John Adams, he said, there are two ways to enslave a nation. It's either by armed conflict or by debt. So how do we get out of this? Well, first we need to, you know, make sure our elections are up and up, and then we need to elect some members of Congress who are going to audit the Fed and put them under the microscope. And there are a few Congress members who were prepared to do that. This is from Big League Politics. Thomas Massey's audit, the Fed bill, gains more traction. As inflation rages across the economy, Americans are rightfully angry with the way the Biden regime has mismanaged the economy. Now comes the million-dollar question. What's the solution to this economic predicament? Ideally, we would abolish the Federal Reserve and allow for competing currencies to flourish. So on June 8th, 2022, Arkansas Congressman Rick Crawford became a co-sponsor to Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massie, his Audit the Federal Reserve Act. As of June 9th, 2022, the bill has 66 co-sponsors. If there's one economic issue that should concern right conservative populists, it's inflation. Inflation is the product of loose monetary policies and other mechanisms that central banks have access to. That's one of the many dangers of having a central bank in existence. Former Congressman Ron Paul understood this and got the ball rolling by introducing his own audit of the federal legislation when he was in Congress. Massie has embraced the sound money mantle, which appears to be gaining more traction as inflation reaches alarming rates. And some other good news is Bitcoin is gaining more and more acceptance. We got an article from Bitcoin Magazine. Food chain Everbolt accepts franchisee fee payment in Bitcoin. We're seeing a lot of businesses and even politicians accept payment in Bitcoin. El Salvador has made it legal tender, and so has the Central African Republic. Recently, El Salvador has hosted, I think, like 40 to 50 other countries to a Bitcoin summit, to a Bitcoin like conference to discuss how to use it to improve their economies. So there is a way out of this. The powers that be, the elites, they're getting more and more drastic and blatant, and they're getting more ruthless. But as I always say, this is actually a good thing. They're out in the open. We're seeing it. And it's because they're desperate. There is a way out of this. Invest in sound money, invest in assets, and eventually you'll be well set, you'll be well prepared to you'll be well placed to thrive when the whole central bank system collapses. Hopefully it comes around very soon. So I will let you go. If you find this content valuable, please give it a thumbs up, share it, and subscribe. And also visit my website. I post a lot of articles and my podcasts on here. And you can buy some cool t-shirts and hats. I especially like this one. I have one of my own. Assets are greater than money. So go ahead and take advantage. I'm Nate Houseman, letting you go, and I'm letting you know that it's okay to stand up for yourself. Have a good one.